What I'm going to present here, it's basically my thesis. I'm a demographer, so maybe there will be a lot of data and graphics and maps here, so sorry about that. But what I'm focusing here is it's this part of my thesis about the differentiations on internal and international migrants in this metropolitan area specifically. So this is the name of the presentation, From Coffee to Industry, Changing Migrants' Characteristics in a Metropolitan Area in Brazil. So this is basically, we have here the map of Brazil. This here is the state of São Paulo, and this is what we call the macro metropolis. It's this huge area with four metropolitan areas and a lot of urban agglomerations. Metropolitan areas in Brazil are state law, so they decide which part of the state will be a metropolis or not. It used to be federal law, but they just gave this role to the states. So we have here, as I told you, in this particular area, four institutionalized metropolitan areas and a lot of urban agglomerations. This is the percentage of people in the cities. So you can see the dark cities are the cities who have more people. Here is the metropolitan area of São Paulo. This is the city of São Paulo. The metropolitan area of São Paulo has 21 million people. The city of São Paulo itself, 11. And what I'm going to my interest here is this area. This is Campinas metropolitan area. The area itself has 3.1 million people, and the city center, it's 1.3 million people. So this is Campinas metropolitan area. This is the main city, Campinas. Like I told you, this is an area with 3 million people. There is 17 cities in this metropolitan area. Campinas GDP per capita is more than 37,000 reais, while in the state of São Paulo is 32. Brazil as a whole is 31.5, and the metropolitan area of São Paulo is 38. So Campinas metropolitan area is a really wealthy part of the state and part of Brazil. My thesis as a whole, in my thesis I'm making an analysis on how the migrants' characteristics or migrants' profiles has changed since the industry and economic development, particularly after 1980s. The hypothesis in my thesis is that the economic development, which produces a different dynamics of labor relations, as well as migration and mobility of individuals within metropolitan areas, are critical to determine the living conditions of the population and the space they occupy in the metropolitan area. Therefore, I'm investigating the importance of the migrants' destination city, taking into account the socio-demographic characteristics and how these destination cities hold different roles in this metropolitan puzzle. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about the historical context of the metropolitan area to have an idea of what I'm talking about. This particular area in São Paulo started to develop in the middle of the 19th century because of coffee plantations. At the time, we had African slaves working on it. The end of slavery in Brazil in 1888 has enabled the creation of a rural labor market and has altered the structure of mass consumption, thanks along with the rise of the coffee exportations. The accumulation of capital that proceeded from the selling of the grain has what enabled the investment in infrastructure and in industry, especially textile and cotton. The end of slavery also marks the beginning of the European migration, migrants who would later head to the city's industries. The Brazilian metropolis have emerged due to a tendency in countries like Brazil, which have a low capacity of investments in production, and concentrating the industrial park in only one region, seeking to take advantage to the infrastructure of transportation, public services, teaching industries, and appropriate workforce qualifications. So what we have here is that the coffee plantations developed so much this part of the country because they have a lot of money to invest in industry. And then this metropolis starts to grow because of the industries. Because of its industrial development in the 60s, the city of São Paulo had become an important destination from northeast states migrants, northeast of Brazil, which are the poorest states of Brazil. In the same decade, more than 128,000 migrants arrived in the city of São Paulo each year, coming from these northeast states. Between the 1980 and 1985, thanks to the end of Brazilian military dictatorship and external capital inflows, there was an intensification of industrial and urban growth in major cities. The cost of transport, land, and services increased, and part of the industry was forced to abandon these big cities, like São Paulo, a process understood as these economies of agglomeration. I'll talk about more later. Enabling the development of new economies and agglomerations around the city. So what we have here is that the city development, São Paulo developed so much, then the city center was too expensive for industries, and that they had to move to cities around the city of São Paulo. That's why the metropolitan area appeared. After that, the migration processes starts to have countryside São Paulo also as a destination, especially the medium-sized town as Campinas, capable of maintaining a certain standard of urban services. The countryside has developed from a negative migration balance of 450,000 people in the 60s to a positive balance of 750,000 people in the 80s. The expansion of the industry to the countryside, however, does not mean it was not previously non-existent in this location. The development of the RMC, which is the metropolitan area of Campinas, has started. For instance, it's firstly carried out through the development of the region's coffee center as well, through the time, along with the dilution of the São Paulo city's region, other cities around RMC have started to develop themselves, also favored by the concentration of Campinas center. Therefore, cities like Campinas, which house important teaching and research hubs, also end up becoming the regions that attract the industry the most. So again, this deconcentration from the city of São Paulo and cities around São Paulo went to the countryside, to Campinas, and then the center of Campinas as well developed so much, it was too expensive, and then cities around Campinas start to develop as well. And then we have the metropolitan area of Campinas. The process of economic, social, and political transformations provides us with the idea that internal and international migration processes were also influenced and changed, both in relation to the flows and in relation to the characteristics of these migrants, especially due to the changing of the industrial process and labor market. So what we have here is, that, again, the map of the macro metropolis. What you can see from 2000 and 2010 is that the metropolitan area of São Paulo expelled a lot of people, especially from Campinas, as you can see from these slashes here. So this is what I'm calling this the concentration. So about the conceptual framework, I have a lot to work on the conceptual framework or stuff, but what we have here is these two important concepts that I already talked about, these economies of agglomeration. The cost of transports, land, and service increased, and part of the industry is forced to abandon the urban agglomeration, causing its diseconomies. So when we have the industries going to other places, we have the diseconomy of this place. Of course, São Paulo is a huge place, and that is part of what happened to the city center, with especially base industries that moved to the countryside together with the migrants' decision making. This other conceptual is concentrated deconcentration. The deconcentration of this big industry center is limited to the metropolitan around it, and the population growth of this new industrial center is limited to demographic growth, taking into account the decrease of internal migration and the fertility rates. So, of course, we have the deconcentration of these big centers, but they are concentrated in this part of the country. They're not going to other places. About the methodology I'm using here, I'm using the Brazilian census. In this presentation, I'm showing data only from 2000 and 2010, but in my thesis, I'm using 1991 as well. I choose the five-year migrants, so everyone who moved to the city 5 years before the census data, I'm using our migrants. And I'm going to use this in my thesis. I'm just putting here to show you. I'm not going to talk about it because I didn't develop it as well. But it's called Annual List of Social Information. Every industry in Brazil, every company has to provide to the government information about their employees. So they have to say where they come from, when they were born. And that's really interesting to see migration in these areas. So what I'm going to show you now is some of data to try to differentiate internal and international migration. It's still like a sneak peek of the data because there's still a lot to develop. But let's see. The first data here we have, it's the I'm dividing into four kinds of categories, of migrants categories. We have international migrants, we have interstate migrants, people who are coming from different parts of the state of São Paulo to the metropolitan area of Campinas. We have intrastate from the state of São Paulo. Interstates, people coming from other states of, that's not São Paulo, and intra-metropolitan, people who are moving inside the metropolitan area of Campinas. So what we have here, it's in 1995 from 2000, the migrants, 20% of migrants were international migrants. Why is it going on? Because it was the year there was a lot of development in this area. And there was a lot of multinationals and international companies going there. So they brought a lot of international migration with them. And we have, but it decreased a lot in 2010 because the companies were already there. Interstate, and intra-metropolitan state, we have an increase of these kinds of migrants, yeah.
Is this just São Paulo?
This is the metropolitan area of Campinas. That's what I'm talking about here, metropolitan area of Campinas. São Paulo is crazy, completely different. it's a crazy city. I got only 2010 because they're really similar, the proportion of migrants from 2000 to 2010. So of course we have a lot of Latin Americans, we have a lot of Europeans and Africans. From the European migrants, the majority come from Italy, Spain and Portugal, countries that we have a history. But we have a lot of Germans as well because of the automobile companies. Among Latin Americans, we have a lot of people from Uruguay, Argentina, and Chile, which are the wealthier countries in South America. So we have a lot of wealthy people coming to them. And from Africa, people from Trinidad, Tobago, and Congo. About the education of this international migration, what the blue one is people with no education or with an incomplete elementary school. I don't know if the translation of the school it's really the same, but well. Red is elementary school and or incomplete high school. Green is high school or incomplete college. And the purple one, college degree. It's really interesting to see that we have a lot of people with college degree going to these cities. When we talk to European people, of course, they're going there to work with high skill works. But if we're talking to Africans, we have a lot of people from Africa with college degree working in really bad employees, with informal employees. So about internal migrations, I put international just to have a look, but it's pretty much divided. We have 26% in intra-metropolitan migrants, 34% are coming from other states of Brazil, and intrastate is 38%. Similar to education, it's pretty divided, but what I'd like to highlight here is that interstate migrants are less educated than intra-metropolitan migrants. So we have here, from the interstate, 40% have no education or incomplete elementary school. This is because people who are coming from other states of Brazil are coming from these northeastern states, who are the poorest states of Brazil. Because these intra-states are coming, especially from northeast Brazil, of course, that show that RMC is attracting a lot of migrants that would have been attracted to São Paulo in the first place. Now, what I'm going to talk about, it's what I'm most focusing on now, that is to differentiate the city in the metropolitan area and how these cities are influenced by the migration flows. So I divided the metropolitan area in these four categories. We have first Campinas, which is the biggest city, the wealthier city, and then you can not put the city together with other cities because it's really heterogenic. To analyze Campinas, you have really wealthy people, really poor people, really nice neighborhoods, bad neighborhoods. It's really complicated to analyze the city. So in my thesis, I'm going to divide the city in different places in order to analyze it better. But you have to put it in a different category. We have this category about closed condominiums. We have these two cities here, Valinhos and Viedo, which is really close to Campinas. They're cities, they have a lot of these closed condominiums. People move to, I'm going to talk about more about it later. People move to these places because they're scared of social security, because they want a better life than in the center. So they're really wealthy and they move to these closed condominiums. We have Paulínia and Indaiatuba, which I'm calling the new industries frontiers. These two cities here, Paulínia and Indaiatuba, you can see they're really grown. This is the rate of growing in the city. And then Paulina has the biggest oil refinery in the country, so they're really wealthy. And Indatuba is close to the international airport of Campinas, which is becoming the biggest loading airport in whole Latin America. And this last category, periphery, or if you call it, this periphery is occupied by the ones who cannot afford houses in the center. So they move to the cities. We're really poor cities. I'm going to talk about it now. This map here that I showed, this map showed the growing rates of the cities of the RMC. So you can see that economic development attracts a lot of migrants. Paulina and Datuba, the cities who are developing the most, industrially speaking, they're attracting a lot of migrants. Valinhos and Vinhedo, the cities who are attracting these wealthy people to live in these closed condominiums as well. And this specific city here, Hortolândia, that I'm going to focus later. So we have the industrial decentralization that I talked in the beginning, moving from Campinas to these two cities, Paulina and Indaiatuba. And with this industrial decentralization, we have the population decentralization and the migration from people to this Campinas center to these other places. This is just a picture to show you. This is the city center of Campinas. It's pretty much a lot of places. A lot of places in Latin America, especially in Brazil, they are renewing their historical center. So wealthy people didn't live in the city center, the historical city center, but they're moving back to the city center in a process we call gentrification, but I'm not going to focus on it right now. But what we have here is a really, really grown city, a really big city, different from the other cities around it. This is what I'm calling the closed condominiums in these cities like Valinhos and Viedo. These closed condominiums are like fortress. No one goes in or goes out without identifying yourself. Here you can find these closed condominiums in all metropolitan area, but especially in these two cities that I talked about. This is the house of big part of Campinas elite, and these high-skilled migrants, especially European migrants, who are moving to Campinas, are moving to these places because they're really scared of social insecurity. I don't have the number now of the migrants who are moving to these condominiums because it's really tricky to understand this in the census, but I'm trying to do it with different approaches. If you move farther from the city center, in the same city, Campinas, the main city, you find neighbors like this, with low middle class, with all kind of houses, with all kind of migrants as well. Again, if we analyze this map, we can see that the flows of migrants coincide with the cities with the important economic development, like Paulínia. Paulínia here. As you can see, migrants are growing from one census to another. Cities with a lot of these condominiums, like Valinhos and Viedo, that I showed you, especially Valinhos, which is really close to Campinas. And cities like Hortolândia, as you can see here, is the biggest movement, migrant movement, intermetropolitan speaking, is from Campinas to Hortolândia, and I'll talk about it now. So again, as you can see, these are the cities who are growing the most in the metropolitan area. So why they're moving to these places? Because we have a lack of cheap land or cheap rent in the centers. So they migrate to these illegal occupations or cheap peripheries. I'm gonna try to explain now. I did a research for my dissertation, and I interviewed 32 families that lives in Campinas in this city, specifically Hortolândia. I can say that everybody that I talked about in Hortolândia moved there because it was cheap to have their own house. In the beginning, this neighbor starts as a land occupation. With time, the town hall expropriates the land from this previous owner and they give to the people. They provide plumbing, electricity later, pavement as well, but it takes time, of course. And it estimates that the city of Hortolândia now has 100 illegal occupations. It's not that big of a city. There's 100,000 people, so there's 100 occupations there. These are some pictures that I took from this city. This is already legalized, so we have electricity. We have bad plumbing, but they have plumbing, but they don't have pavement as well yet. To have an idea of how this city fits into dynamics of this metropolitan puzzle, this is the data of sewerage water system in the city of Hortolândia. This is the data from migrants. So migrants who live in the old metropolitan area, 93% of these migrants have a sewerage or water system. In Hortolândia, 48% doesn't have it, anything. not water, not sewage. So it's really different city, from the rest of the metropolitan area. This is about education. As you can see, we have a lot of people in Ortolândia with no education or incomplete elementary school, and few people with college degree. The rate of college degree in Brazil is 18%. In Ortolândia, it's 8%. About commuting, what I'm trying to say is that people are going to these places to have a house because they can afford houses in other places. But they don't actually work in the city because they don't have work. So as you can see here, from the whole metropolitan area, 78% live in the same city they work. In Ortolândia, 52% have to move every day to work in different cities. About income, this is the average minimum wage, and Campinas, their average minimum wage is like 4 minimum wages per person. Valinhos and Viedo, 3.5. Paulínia and Dayatuba, the two cities who are developed the most, 2.8. The other cities of the metropolitan are 2.1, and Ortolândia has the lowest one. It's 1.6 minimum wages per person. So, what's next? Like I told you in the beginning, I know this is a very, now it's becoming a very descriptive work. So my goal now is to incorporate more theories, especially for economic development and migration. In my dissertation, I've worked with different reasons than not the economic to migrate. Reasons inside the family and other kinds of reasons. So in this thesis, what I'm worried about is not to incorporate the technological determinist as a main goal to these changes, to these migrant changes. But what we can conclude right now is that, what we can conclude so far is that migration in this area is very diverse. We have internal and international migrants with different profiles, and because of that, the metropolitan dynamics creates demands for the cities, talking specifically about housing. And the migrants that comes from metropolitan areas search not only for the city who will provide work, but a city who will provide a house for them. I know it's a little bit, there's a lot of other nuances in this metropolitan area. I'm not trying to say that there's only rich and poor, but if you want to simplify the thing is, if you have money, you can live in the center or close to work. If you have money and feel social insecurity or want a life far from the stress of the city center, you can move to a city in close to condominiums. That's what has happened to wealthy people in this metropolitan area and international people in this metropolitan area. But if you don't have the money to afford a house in this place or to pay an expensive rent, you don't have much choice. You move to a city that can provide you a roof, simply. You probably face floods, mudslides, lack of running water, lack of electricity, and face hours in buses every day to get to work. This could look exaggerated, but we have people in buses, 6 hours a day in buses, just to go to work and to get home again. Not because they choose to, because they had to. So people have different reasons to migrate, but in the case of this Brazilian metropolitan area, some of people can choose their reasons, some cannot. Well, this is one of the main reasons. The intra-metropolitan migrants are increasing as well as the commuting mobility. And that's it. Thank you very much.